everybody. It's another awesome episode of Give Us the Launch Codes on this glorious day. I'm Tom.
I'm Travis, everybody. Welcome.
Good to have everyone back. It's good to be back. Right, Travis? We had some wacky episodes recently, and that was not only before and after this episode recording right here. We've had some wacky funness that you're going to be listening to, and we got a little squirrely on some. You already know we're kind of known for that now, being squirrely. And we hope you enjoy what we've been putting out, because we enjoy just doing this. Just two best friends having fun here. Usually food and beverages are involved. Right now I'm having a Guinness for this one. What's new with you, my friend? It's raining right now on this beautiful Wednesday.
Yeah.
What's new with you? By the way, time of recording, March 5th. Again, I've been saying that a lot because we record in bulk. We're working towards being able to record daily to keep topical, to keep consistent.
Or at least weekly.
weekly too, but we're trying to do it daily. Just right now we do in bulk and we kind of skip a week just because, hey, we got busy lives. Don't worry. It's going to come soon. But anyway, how have you been, my friend? What's new with you?
Let's see. I'm showing my wife Sons of Anarchy for first time. We left off. It's the episode where we are introduced to Jury and the Devil's Tribe, where they do the patch over.
What was that? What was that? Remember Half Sack? I'm getting a real MILF chubby.
Oh, God, yes. And then Clay gets him back terribly. Yeah, that...
That has ramifications, too, for the next couple episodes.
Yeah, it does. That's what I love about that show, just like the ripple effects.
It's a well airtight show. Everyone watch Sons of Anarchy. But what? So how's Denise liking it?
Yeah, she's enjoying it pretty well.
His wife and producer, ladies and gentlemen.
There's one episode, or that episode. There's one scene I got to rewatch, one of my favorite scenes in the whole show. Tig and Juice are stealing. They're stealing that truck, but they got to get past the guard dog. Juice gives the dog like drugged meat
to like and, make the dog pass out, right?
Yeah, but instead it makes the dog more feral and bites Tig on the ass.
Cause you find out what's in the when he drugged the dog.
Yeah, cause like Tig's like,
that thing should be dead. I dosed him like 2 grams.
Grams of what?
Crank.
You fed Crystal to kill a Doberman. Are you retarded?
No.
You know the best part about that is that it's a rhetorical question, but Juice still answers no.
Juice is pretty dumb in the first season. Yeah, no. You want me to go out and kill it? Don't you dare. I go shoot it? No, just drive. By the way, the running gag with Tig, he gets a lot of butt damage done to him.
Yes, he does.
Bitten, shot, I think, at one point, but bitten twice.
Yeah, so joke was Juice couldn't tell the difference. And actually, it's funny.
Not tell the difference. Juice thought giving a damn guard dog methamphetamine would work to knock it out as a depressant.
Yeah, he doesn't know his uppers from his downers. And it's funny because, like, remember in the previous episode where they have to drug those two cops? That, because they're looking for, like, clown rapist.
The AKAs and stuff, and they're trying to get around the two cops. But they drug the cops accordingly.
Yeah. They like, slip something in their coffee, and then they knock them out. And then, Tig hands off the pills to Juice. It says, hold on to these. They're just vitamins. Which Juice thinks that's, like, code for their uppers. And therefore, he doesn't get the AKs ready because he just knocks out.
Yeah, that's right. He passes out because he took them. And then Juice drugs the dogs with meth.
So it's like, man, he really...
Doesn't know his drugs.
He doesn't know his drugs at all.
You know what's funny about that character? Mm-hmm. He's a part-time owner of a weed shop. Mm-hmm. He should know his drugs.
So anyway, speaking of people who don't know their uppers from their downers... Let's talk about President Trump.
You mean just what has happened with the Zelensky meeting and the fallout?
At time of recording, it's been a week since Trump and Vance decided to get into like a shouting match with Zelensky on live television, which is one of the most mind-boggling things to watch.
And by the way, real quick, I don't want to cut out Travis anymore, but just to be clear, because we said March 5th, yes, we did watch that State of the Union address last night. And you know what? That's not even worth giving the time of day, because it was just, to me, just bullshit on all ends. So we're just going to talk about the fallout of this specifically, because there's going to be a ripple effect of what happened about, what, a week ago with that meeting. Only because people are dying.
You know, you always hear stories in news articles or biographies about, well, secretly, these two politicians didn't actually like each other. And when they got into a room together, they would yell at each other. And it's always from...
Gloves off.
It's always like an unnamed source. Mm-hmm. Or it's someone who was there who wrote a book about it later and to make some money in for retirement. There's always this element of, well, it might not be true. Maybe someone's just exaggerating because it was behind closed doors, and there's that sense of like, well, maybe we'll never truly know what happened. This was on live television. This played out in live television.
The world saw this.
Yeah, the entire world saw it. We know the entire world saw this because there were some Russian state TV reporters present.
And they got kicked out, too, at the same time. Yeah, you're right. Like, this played out live, something that you would see in a biography movie decades after the event. Here in, you know, word of mouth, a History Channel documentary. I think the problem is, too, it's just that, yeah, we didn't need to see that. And I know now you bring this up, and I'm thinking of everything people said of like, well, my taxpayers' dollars pay for government stuff and all this, and I'm glad I saw this behind-the-curtain transparency. We need to see more of this. It's like, no, you don't. It doesn't help out anyone. It doesn't look good on anyone's part. And it just makes you realize, for this example, once again, oh, great, that's right, people are dying. And this happened.
What's most bizarre is that you realize, I think Trump and his team set it up that way on purpose. Because I think what they wanted was Zelensky to grovel at their feet. Because let's face it, we're giving Ukraine kind of a bit of a raw deal here. Yeah. We're going to end, you know, hopefully we're going to get Russia to cease fire and, you know, stop fighting. And in return, we're going to harvest rare earth minerals from Ukraine for some reason. Everything about that just reads like an extortion deal. Russia still gets to keep Crimea. Crimea. I always wonder how that I is said. Crimea. I'll call it Crimea. But so Russia still gets to keep that. What does Ukraine get? Nothing. Pretty much nothing, except just, oh, I guess we'll stop fighting for a while. And this is assuming Russia will stick with the ceasefire, which Trump is best friends with. He's best buddies with Putin. He loves sucking off Putin. You know, sure. If Putin says he'll stop, we will stop.
His take is... I think it'll also, too, it's like, once I'm out of office, who cares what he does? The take, in a sense. Because it's like, yeah, while I'm here, it won't happen. And that's a dangerous thing because...
I don't think Trump is thinking that. I think Trump just thinks he's going to stay in office forever. But it's like... So anyway, I think what they wanted was Zelensky to kind of grovel at the feet and make it seem like, oh, thank you so much. Let me kiss the king's ring. Thank you for, you know, bringing this together. I am subservient to you. But Zelensky wasn't playing that game. He wasn't combative. But every time he spoke, he made darn sure that he mentioned, like, hey, Russia has committed war crimes. They are killing our people. They invaded our nation 11 years ago, and this is an extension of that. They started it. They invaded. What we ultimately want is for them to leave a Ukrainian sovereign territory. And he made that point. He was like, I'm going to say it in front of every camera and every reporter in here. I'm going to make sure that is clear. And Trump and Vance clearly didn't like it. And so that's why J.D. Vance had his, how come you didn't say your poison thank yous?
Yes, but Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
Which got Trump going. And
you will not have a war. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's exactly what you're doing.
You're in no position to dictate.
You know, you should be grateful, you who's having your country invaded and in a war for its very own existence. It was so off-putting. It's off-putting circumstantially.
Just that we saw it, really, but yeah.
Also, I just want to say one thing.
Sure, of course.
If fuck every single leftist that tried to say that this war was like Ukraine's fault or America's fault or some sort of like NATO wanted this to happen and therefore is like placating Russia or even pro-Russia on this. Russia tried to do an all-out war of classic imperialism. Ukraine was a sovereign independent nation. And Russia was like, no, we want that for ourselves. It is a classic case of a bigger power trying to do a colonialism and imperialism. And what's frustrating is all these, not all, but like a lot of people who call themselves like anti-imperialist folks were trying to make it seem like, Russia was in the right. Can you blame them? Like, they got pressured into invading. No. No, you're not anti-imperialist, you're anti-American. You don't like Ukraine because America is backing them because your brain is too fucking broken from the very real bad wars that we had with Afghanistan and Iraq. I understand. And I understand that we're in this for cynical reasons, but we're on the right. We were on the right. I was going to say we are, but I guess not anymore. We were on the right side of this war regardless. We were on the anti-imperialism side here.
We just didn't go about it the right way.
Now I guess we're Russia's guys. We're friendly with Russia now. We're friends with Putin. We're friends with a big nuclear-powered dictator that controls a big swath of America's land of the world's landmass, not America's landmass.
I think the problem with that, with you're bringing up, like you said, like the past and stuff, people understand that since 1945, Russia has and still has been our nemesis. It has been. Why an ally became our greatest enemy in 1945 is still beyond me. I know there's other reasons, like, you know, how both countries went after the Nazi scientists,
mm-hmm.
One is capitalism. One is communism, which I'm going to get to the communism part later. And the problem is, though, it's just Russia has been the bad guy, continues to be the bad guy since 45. We had a Cold War. We've had all these movies. Nothing's changed. The Berlin Wall came down. Doesn't mean jack shit. They invaded Georgia. Look what happened there. Now we're here. He's a dictator, Putin. Mm-hmm. It's just plain and simple. When was the last election? Didn't he sign a law that gave him basically another 33 years? I remember that about 5-6 years ago, right? No matter what's going on, if someone's in power for 33 years, whether they're the best leader in the world, the worst leader in the world, doesn't matter, that is un-American. Because democracy, that's not democratic for 33 years straight. It just doesn't matter. It's not. And the thing about them trying to get this deal signed, including the mineral rights, it's you're talking to a dude who's under invasion. You're talking to a dude who, he literally just has a 1,000-yard stare to him. He wants, and also too, he probably wants a bit of a pound for flesh back. Mm-hmm. And and that's the horror of war. It just, war makes everyone bad. There's no winner in war. I heard a quote, there's no winner in war. There's no good or bad in war. It's who's left. Because it's just evil. That's what war is. And what they're doing. And the thing is, I've heard people say, Zelensky has done all this bad stuff on his homeland. He's forcing people into fight on the front lines. Like, okay, then if this is really bad as what I've been hearing about Zelensky as a leader and how he's quote unquote destroying his own country through this war, his people can take him down. Then if he's that bad, his people need to take him down. Not us doing what Lindsey Graham suggested of, we need to resign and America needs to send someone over to replace him.
President Graham, thank you. Do you think President Zelensky needs to resign to resume these peace
He either needs to resign and send somebody over that we can do business with, or he needs to change.
That's bad. That's not good at all. It sucks that we had a chance to deal with the quote-unquote communist problem back in the 50s, but we didn't because of Truman. And now we're here dealing with this crap because it is. Yeah, it's the it's the other superpower. America's one, Russia's the other. And we both have enough nukes to, what, 10 times over destroy the world, as we've heard before, you know, on countless times through statistics and the math of what these nuclear warheads can do that each side has. And then there's also the fact that, too, yeah, America's at the point where we cannot go to war with Russia in any way, shape, or form, because it's not Russia that's the problem. We have to deal with China. And that's a whole nother ball game that, unfortunately, no one wants to talk about who's ever in power in America or the average Joe. It's that whole thing was unfortunate to see because, yeah, I'm hearing stuff that maybe Zelensky called J.D. Vance a bitch under his breath. Hey, is this what you get for... Well, it's not that. It's just that's what you get for putting this thing on live television. It should have been behind closed doors. And also, too, if this was a serious deal-making thing, where was the Secretary of Defense? You get what I'm saying, though?
The Secretary of State probably would have handled, like, for treaty stuff, and that would have been Marco Rubio. And, of course, Marco Rubio was just, like, trying to sink into his fucking
And the thing that I know why people... I've heard... because I was watching... Value Entertainment Podcasts, Patrick Bet David's the guy in charge of that. Mm-hmm. He was saying that, like, look what this guy, Zelensky, had the balls to say to President Trump. Of course, Trump would react that way. He had the balls to say, you know, like, you got two oceans. You're not feeling it now, but you will feel it soon. Like, how dare he? I'm like, that's been said to us by British prime ministers and politicians and European leaders for decades, that America, we are so lucky because we have the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean as our shield.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have never been invaded or an attack has been attempted on since Pearl Harbor. But if we remember, the Japanese just sent the planes out to Pearl Harbor. The ships never came by to invade the land or anything. We never came close to Hawaii, the Japanese. They never did because we had all this ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Zelensky was. And it's funny how I don't understand. And I know what you're going to say as a response, but I still don't get how Trump and J.D. Vance didn't understand what Zelensky was saying about you're not feeling it now, but you will feel it soon. Because that has been Europe's attitude towards us. We're protected by two oceans. It's going to take a long time for us to feel anything of conflict and war because no foreign boot has ever been on our soil. Yes, I know there's that stretch of land a little bit between Russia and Alaska that during the coldest parts of the year you could technically walk across it. That's fucking ice. I'm talking about transporting all these troops across the ocean, the vastness of the Pacific Ocean and the vastness of the Atlantic Ocean, which was our was the reason what helped us to win the Revolutionary War, because it took 3 to 4 months for British reinforcements to come in.
Yeah.
We have that. All the European countries don't. It's just land. Asia, Europe, and Africa, they have land and the Mediterranean. That's it. Everything else is connected with, like, in a day, you'll get there.
Yeah.
And so that's what Zelensky was saying. Why no one understands that is it is beyond me. I'm sorry, no, it is beyond me. I know what you're going to say, Travis, but it's beyond me how they don't understand that what he was saying is a quote that's been said to about America so many times in the past that our oceans protect us. We'll never feel this. We won't. And now what we're feeling because of that aftermath during that is these, one, tariffs, because if you watch what happened during that meeting between Zelensky and Trump, and then a couple days ago, that White House press conference with just Trump. If you look at the bottom right corner, the Dow dropped to negative 780 and negative 670.
Somebody made a video, and once he made the tariff announcement and the Dow was dropping, just started zoom. It's like the it starts zooming in, and the music is the Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
Yeah. Yep.
And
the thing about that too, because okay, you brought up something too about certain leftists were acting about this. Yeah, you brought that up.
And how they've been for the past couple of years.
No, but
how
they acted on this specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's on the far that's not I don't think it's far left, but it's on the left. It's always been considered a left thing. SNL. One of their cold opens recently was about this meeting. And in my head, I'm like this. Maybe it's funny. Maybe we get a little chuckle out of this because the clip I'm seeing of it, I like all the actors in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it and I'm like this. You know what? No, this isn't funny because of this, more people will die.
Yeah.
That's why it wasn't funny. I mean, SNL, really, that's why that cold open about the meeting between Zelensky and Trump was not funny. And I personally now feel it was just should have done something else. Because, yeah, people are going to die from this. People, it's sad to say, folks, more people just are going to suffer and die from this. And then we're the ones really either footing the bill or collecting the dust. Because what Russia's going to do this again. After whatever this mineral rights deal dictates to us, whatever it helps with us in our debt, they're going to roll back in there. They've done it multiple times. They've broken contracts before. They've been our enemy since 45. Now we're friends because only one specific dude in 80 years is mm-hmm. his buddy. Took 80 years for us to have peace.
That's like the bizarre thing is like this whole we're going to be nice to Russia. We're, you know, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, was like, our cyber crimes unit is no longer going to investigate or crack down on Russian disinformation. We're not going to, we don't consider Russia a threat anymore. This is just because Trump likes Putin and just in general. And the only reason he likes him is because he's a dictator. And he likes dictators because he wants to be one himself. He doesn't respect democratic leaders. He doesn't respect, and I mean like small d Democrat, not like the party.
I know.
He doesn't respect democratic leaders. He doesn't respect political leaders that act like they have that they have an obligation to the people below them. He likes the leaders who think that, oh, I'm in power, I can do what I want, and I'm gonna make sure that I can keep it that way. And I think that's just why he likes Putin. What was really fascinating is like the immediate aftermath. Every like quote unquote good nation in the world had this reaction of like, I was like, oh, there, Zelensky, come over here. We're sorry America was mean to you. We got your back, man. We got your back. Fuck those guys. They're bullies. Trump is a bully. No, we got you, man. Canada, much of Europe. I don't know what Mexico's take on this, but maybe just as a fuck you for the tariffs, they probably were like this too. It was like the rest of the world was like, you know, we love you, Ukraine, Slava Ukraine, and with this very real sense that America is losing its relationships with the rest of the world, and this trade war that we're having with Canada and Mexico
and China,
like that's not going to help things. You know what would be the funniest thing China could do? Like, China, what if China just joins NATO? Like, after America leaves, China's like, we'll foot the bill for NATO. You guys are anti-America now. Well, sure, let's do it.
At this point, anything can happen because the thing with this trade war is just like...
We don't even touch the Atlantic.
It's funny how even Warren Buffett actually recently said that tariffs are an act of war. Yeah. It just is. And it's like, okay, fine. You're doing tariffs on Mexico and Canada because fentanyl keeps coming in. All right, sure. Let's cut off most
sure,
of
that's the reason.
Let's just cut off the majority of our produce supply, a good amount of our meat supply. A lot of stuff's made in Mexico. A lot of stuff's made in China. And we're going to deal with that now. It's funny. I have a Carhartt jacket, and it's the Carhartt is the most all-American, you know, bleed red brand that you will know and recognize and see, and it's that $120, $180 jacket, and I like it, but when I turn to see made in China, so I'm like, huh, that says everything I need to know. The majority of the stuff's made in China. I mean, it's just very few stuff's made in America now. That's the fault of the past. The fault of the past. My Angels hat. I'm an Angels fan, everybody. My Angels hat. This is my favorite Angels hat, by the way. And I'm not a hat guy. You could ask Travis. I always wear beanies. Mm-hmm. Made in China. Just is. And it's like, it's not, it's like, I get it. And I understand where a lot of the Republicans are coming from, stuff needs to get fixed. You're absolutely right. A lot of stuff needs to get fixed. A lot of stuff needs to be put back in order. A lot of stuff needs to be back in American hands. This is not the way to go about it. And also, too, there's this sad, sad, unfortunate realization where too much damage has been done. But at the same time, this is what you get for having a global economy. In a sense, not saying it's bad, but this is what a global economy is. You're going to just be working with everyone and everything. It's kind of our fault then that we entered World War I to save that place, to save that. Mm-hmm. We entered World War II to save it. Didn't have to, but we did. And guess what? It worked out. Why we haven't won a single war since then is beyond me, because that's when we started losing our shit. And that's when, you know, Russia started gaining more power. We should have won Korea. I'll still argue we should have won Vietnam. We should never have gone into the Middle East for any way, shape, or form. These terrorist cells that had nothing to really do with the country or the people as a whole could have been taken out with small small SWAT SEAL teams. But we're here now. You got to witness something that didn't need to be seen because it leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth and makes everyone riled up and mad. Apparently Zelensky's going to sign this mineral deal now.
Yeah,
I see nothing positive coming out of it.
I think that was already going to happen before that meeting, but that meeting was like for show because Trump.
There's cameras. There was cameras, and it's Trump.
Trump
likes
wanted to make a show out of it.
And I hate when people say that, like, well, he's bringing entertainment to politics, and I'm like, listen here, Roger Ailes, we don't need entertainment in politics.
It's like he's bringing entertainment to politics, and that's a good thing.
No, this is a job. This is people's lives on the line. The tariffs are going to really mess with everyone buying groceries, for example. By the way, folks, time of recording, eggs went up again. And that was just eggs. Mm-hmm. They just started.
And that wasn't because of the tariffs. That was because of the whole avian flu.
But to add on, you're right. Sorry, Travis is right. It's the avian flu thing. But it's adding on to the fact that stuff is just dominoing and building on top of each other that we haven't even felt what the tariffs are really going to do to us.
Now, full
thank you for bringing that out, Travis. You're right. It is the avian flu.
You were the one that corrected me off microphone.
Travis, you're right. Thank you.
Before, I have a question to ask you, but I just want to point out the fact that, because I think the thing that with the, sort of the international reaction to all of this, it shows how much the theater of it all really matters. I was opened up to that because here's the thing. Like, okay, the world is finally realizing America, you know, can't be trusted to be our good friend. I'm of the opinion that the world should have had that reaction when we invaded Iraq. But I guess we managed to dupe the whole world into, I guess much of the Western world, I should say. The European and liberal democracies that are, a lot of whom are still based on legacy colonial powers. Maybe we were just predisposed to hate Arabs already, so we're like, yeah, sure, let's go invade Iraq, even though it's totally based on bubkis. In my opinion, the reaction that everyone's having should have happened then, but no, because there was a big immature reality TV spat between two world leaders this way, now everyone is like, whoa, you know, we can't trust America to be our friend. And they're right, because think of it. Like, we have Trump. 4 years from now, maybe we'll have another Democrat back in the office. And then that guy, I'm just going to assume as a guy, I really don't think we're going to be able to elect a woman to the Oval Office anytime soon. Prove me wrong, but I think our country is just not at that point right now. I think we've gone backwards a bit in that regard. But anyway, the next guy comes in and is going to have to do an apology tour for the rest of the world. He's going to talk to all the dignitaries, the ambassadors, the world leaders, and be like, no, sorry about this 4 years. I promise we can bring things back to normal. And everyone else is going to be like, they're going to look at us like that friend who is not taking their bipolar medication. It's like, oh, you're fine now. What's going to happen when your mood swing comes back in 4 years? We can't trust your electorate to keep your agenda consistent. You can see why some third world countries see China as a more viable ally, because Xi Jinping is pretty much going to be in power for probably the rest of his life. He's a dictator, and so therefore he's in a better position. Not that I want to defend dictators, but the positive is that, hey, you can at least have a more long-term agenda and focus on that. You can play the long game a lot better. Anyway, the question I wanted to ask you...
What was the question? No, what was the question, please?
I was going to ask you, because you work at a major retailer that we will not name. That is your day job. You work in a major retailer that sells a lot of things. What do they call them? A big box store or something like that? And one of those things being groceries. I want to ask you, how do you think these tariffs are going to affect the products that your retailer sells? What are you going to have to deal with in the coming weeks?
I don't think it'll happen as soon as we all think, honestly. I think it'll just take a little time for the effects of these tariffs to hit inventory levels across really any box store name. Any place that's a retail store, it's going to take a little time to feel it, to see it and feel it. But when prices go up, they'll go up and inventory will go down. That's how what I see what will really happen in the long run. I think quality will be there for the beginning part, and depending on how long this lasts with the tariffs on these three countries, that's when quality will take its toll. But I don't see that happening first. I see what happening first is after a week or two, inventory levels down, prices up. And I see that because it's kind of brings me back to when I went through COVID, and we went through that. People, please don't panic buy. Doesn't help anyone. Just makes things worse. No need to fight over groceries. No need to do that. I remember seeing people fight over rice and the bag ripped open and someone still paid $60 for, what, a quarter of the bag? It's not a joke.
Jesus.
I don't think it'll get to that level because I think it's sad to say, thankfully, COVID got the stupid out of us in the sense of scared, frightenedness. This will just be bitching and complaining, which, yeah, I'll be bitching too. Remember, I also need groceries to live. It's the equivalent of when people say to officers of the law, you know, I pay your taxes, goddammit. Yeah, you know what? And you know what cops say? Cops say this. Yeah, I pay taxes too, so technically I'm paying myself. Isn't that fucked up? It's just going to be...
That's true. I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah. It's just going to be you have to really plan out your grocery trip. It'll take some friends to help you out, maybe. Go get this while I get that, and we'll switch out receipts and checks and yada, yada, yada. More work. More work to get your groceries.
Or just a little... Some diet adjustments.
Diet adjustments. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, you know, getting certain things one for can't find it or price. And it makes me laugh, too. By the way, you speak this up. I just want to have a side note. People have been complaining about the rise of groceries for so many years, specifically these last five, about just grocery prices are so expensive. Biden economics. And I hear these bills like it costs almost $460 to a trip to the grocery store. And in my head, I'm just like this. I have six people in my household. And a Costco trip is at most $176 a week. And at most, a Stater Brothers trip is $85. I don't know where these people are getting this $500 shit. And these are not in, like, you know, the New York City prices. Maybe cut out your diet. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't care what is in your part of your daily diet. You bet you can cut that down. I'm doing that too. My last Stater Brothers trip is $45 for six people for a week. We're not struggling. You see me, Travis. I'm a chubby fucker. You know my family. We have weight on us.
You're not that chubby.
But you get what I mean, though? My family has weight. My family has weight on them, on their body. We're not, like, stretched out thin. I don't see anything going too wrong with the tariffs in the sense of just, like, my God. It will take time, but we will feel it. The avian flu is a separate event that you're just going to have to deal with.
Yeah. Just bad timing.
It's just bad timing. But all at the same time, people, you need to take care of your livestock. One sick chicken can fuck it up. It's that delicate of a balance, and that's why you need cleaning crews. It takes time. Overcrowding, overbreeding, overstuffing, over this adds to that. Even though an animal is an animal, it's still organic. It's still an organic, living, bleeding being that needs TLC on various different levels. That's all. I see it going up, but slowly. I know I've seen prices for strawberries hit highs in the four in the past. We've all seen the meat prices, you know, highs in the past. But it takes a village in this instance. In reacting to the tariffs, it's going to take a village. Calm down. Walk calmly to the eggs. Walk calmly to your produce. Walk calmly to get whatever it is you need. I don't give a flying fucking shit your time schedule, your livelihood, your situation at home. Whenever you enter any retail store from now on, be cool. Just walk calmly over to this place where you know everyone's buying something. It helps you out. It helps. See, Tater Tot agrees. It helps your fellow citizens out.
I don't think Tater Tot is agreeing. He's not being as calm about this.
Tatey, shh.
Just walk. I'm going to use the eggs, for example. No need for everyone to run over and get eggs. Calmly walk over, grab what only you need, and get the fuck out of the way. Helps everyone out. You, your fellow customers and, you know, citizens, and the people working there. There's no need to, just because if you get there at a certain time and all the eggs, let's say, and I'm going to use eggs for the example because that's the main thing right now in the news. Your eggs run out. Why are you going to be a dick to the person working at the store? They have no control over it. They have no control over how many people came in, how many people have came in to buy, and how it ran out so quickly. It really is on you for how you got there at what time. Yeah, I know. We all have busy schedules. Plan out your grocery shopping. Plan it out a week in advance. Plan it out. Stick to your plan. It'll make you happier. Do not take it out on the people working there. Don't. It doesn't do anyone any good. It's disgusting. They have no control over it. It's really just I just work here. Get your shit in a calm, controlled manner. Go about your fucking day.
I'm trying to think. I in all the times I've ever grocery shopped, or just do any retailer shopping, I don't think I've ever asked, like, a retail worker, like, if something is missing or they just don't have something on the shelves that day, I don't think I've ever gone up to a worker and say, hey, where is this? I think I just walked away and thought, oh, I guess they don't have that today. I guess I'll go to another store, which, I don't know.
You can do.
Yeah, which I know I can. I don't want to be stereotypical of all you rural folks out there. Maybe the CVS is the only pharmacy go-to quick back store that you could get, but, like, I don't know. Is there a Walgreens across the street that you could try?
But there's also a calmer way to go about something missing. Every time, and it's funny. It's just every time item's out, irregardless of what the situation is in the world. Oh, you don't sell this anymore? What is it? What? It's just like, just ask, excuse me. Hey, how's your day going? Out of curiosity, do you have more of this item? Or, hey, out of curiosity, do you know where this item is? Way better than saying, hey, you don't sell this anymore?
Yeah.
What the honestly, go fuck yourself. No. And then just nicely and gently ask them, do you have any more? Where is it at? And if you want to know the reason why what's going on, calmly ask them. They just work there. Why are you taking it out on them? I've seen it too many times. During crisis situations, before crisis situations, I've heard stories from coworkers about Y2K, and that was just a clusterfuck of a day. I've heard stuff about the 9/11 aftermath, how people were shopping, because that was a clusterfuck of a time. COVID was a crazy, 3 months of just...
Only 3 months?
Just what I remembered. It calmed down, and then George Floyd... spiked it back up, but I just remember those, like, 3-4 months of just, like, yeah, no, Agent K from Men in Black is correct.
A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
And it's sad to say that about us as a species, that we act like the movies in large numbers.
Is it life imitating art, or is that art imitating life?
Fucking Christ.
Which came first?
Yeah, right? The chicken and the egg, cough. Yeah. And it just sucks because it's like I've seen, and also too, to everyone who also works at retail stores, whatever you sell, it goes both ways. If a customer or member comes at you with this cunt, twat, dick attitude, guess what you do? You're being paid. You're on the clock. take a breath, kill them with kindness. And I said that. Be nice, be professional. You can kill them with it. And it will work to your benefit by being gentlemanly, ladylike and nice, professional. But if you look them in the eye and calmly talk to them, you kill them with kindness, it'll be in your favor. And I'm saying that because you need a little something at the end of the day. Every no matter what profession you're in, we all want to say, go fuck yourself to a customer. We do.
Yeah.
Everyone across the board, whoever you are, deep down has that dream of saying, go fuck yourself. Don't. Kill them with kindness. It helps you out. I'm saying kill. Kill them with kindness, and you'll be fine professionally. And they will. And it always works every time. For example, having to help out certain people, I just took over a situation by stocking every single person's cart with an item. I took control of the situation of this item that was in high demand. Everything worked out, and I was smiling the whole time. And it was like, calm. Everyone had some annoyances, sure, because you have to do it a certain way. And I apologize for the inconvenience of certain ways that they had to handle it for certain things. No instances. Came out happy. And the same thing I did that. And I'm bringing back COVID because it's starting to slowly act like it was during COVID for our groceries and retail items. There's no need to go do what we did, folks. I saw people fight. I saw people cuss. I saw some of the most heinous racial shit ever. And not just from, you know, race to race, within your own race.
There was still racism, but it was like...
Inter-racism.
Okay.
That was the worst I saw.
Oh, God.
And there's no need to bring that back up because of what's going on. Never is. And I've heard people say, like, well, our political leaders are what set the tone. That's disgusting. You set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
I set the tone. I'm going to say this right now because we're kind of jumbling some episodes how we record.
I kind of want this to be like next week's episode.
So this could be episode 5 or possibly episode 6. Mm. But at the time we're recording, it's the end of our days of bulk recording like we do. It doesn't... kind of lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. What I'm getting at is just there's just no need to be a dick no matter what. Just calmly get your stuff, calmly get out. I did lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. With that one, I was going to say something I think maybe profound. I don't know. But basically what it comes down to what I'm saying is just both sides, working on the clock and being a customer/member. Just smile, be polite, kill each other with kindness, and it'll all work out no matter what, because you don't need it. Oh, there you go. I remember what I was saying. Our political leaders don't set the tone. It's us. And I say that now because our whole thing is called Give Us the Launch Codes. And I'm saying it right now. I know how Travis has voted these past few elections. Mm-hmm. The past two, I didn't vote because I saw both sides not representing me. I did not vote during Biden and Trump because honestly, wasn't worth my vote. My vote is very sacred to me, and I will give it to who I feel it is, so I held on to that vote. This past election, didn't vote for Kamala or Trump, because to me, both parties, Democratic and Republican, do not represent me, and I think they are the most un-American parties at the moment. The Democrats have fucked up. They have. The Republicans are not acting like our founding fathers have said they are. I don't care what anyone says. The only flag that should be flying is the Stars and Stripes. Anything else that flies is un-American. And you know what I'm talking about. 45, 47 hats, which I still don't get, even though I understand what the numbers mean. But only one flag should be flying. No other flags.
Yeah.
Banners are different because I see banners for sports teams. And yeah, I'm splitting a hair. Fuck you.
If you see someone flying like an Angels flag on a flagpole, you're like...
It should be American. The banner's different.
Interesting.
That's just me. I'm a little authoritarian, totalitarian with certain views that I have on politics and democracy. I think democracy is great. I also think at times you need a sprinkling of communism, socialism, fascism, and what's that one new thing of Ron Swanson's a big name of that?
Libertarianism.
Yes, you need a mixture of everything. When you're going on with the whole you need to break a few eggs to make an omelet. Okay, well, when you make an omelet, you use a lot of different ingredients.
Yeah.
The bulk of your ingredients should be democracy. Mm-hmm. You need a little bit of everything else. So yeah, no, you're right. Any flag I see that's not the Stars and Stripes, I just go like this. No, it should just be that. And I get there's military flags, make them a banner. It should just be the Stars and Stripes. I think the states having their own flag is stupid. It should just be that's me. We're Americans. I don't care if you're a New Yorker, a Washington person, Tennessee, and Californian. The point is, we're our fellow citizens. Supply the same fucking flag.
Encounter some major disagreement in Texas. They love that Lone Star.
And guess the only difference we should have as Americans is our sports teams. We should all be on the same front, same flag, no matter what. It should just be the Stars and Stripes. So that's why I don't like all that MAGA product and merchandise.
Oh God.
It's like this.
It's so weird and creepy. It's like the way he commercialized his campaign.
But that's un-American. Only one thing should be flying. Only one thing should be ever shown. That's it. And I'll say the same thing with even the Democrats. The biggest, most genuinely striking and visually political, I guess, not propaganda, but merchandise tool we saw was that, remember that Obama one that said change?
Yeah, oh, wait, are you talking about the, was it change or was it hope? But it was like change. Multicolored. No,
it was change. It was change, and it was his 2008 big thing. And I'll say this.
Yeah, I know the one you're
because I can have dual thought. Genius marketing. That's genius. Kind of like Make America Great Again. Mm-hmm. Genius. Don't make shirts out of that. Mm. No, that's un-American.
Okay.
You can go to a rally of any political party of a candidate and just stand in your clothes and just listen. You don't need to carry their face. You don't need to carry their name. You don't need to carry their slogan. You just stand there and watch and listen.
Yeah.
I think there's no need to do that. And I know we just got off topic more with this stuff, but since we're delving into the overallness of where this country's at, if I ever go to a political rally of someone I believe should be president, you're just going to see me in my flannel, jeans, cowboy boots, and leather vest because I'm not going to carry their name. Mm-hmm. I refuse to do that. I refuse to carry their catchphrase slogan. I will refuse to carry anything but the American flag because I'm not a bannerman. Because that was the point of the Revolutionary War. We are not bannermen. We are fucking Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We vote, and that is it. Doesn't need to be entertaining. I don't get why this has to be, oh, God, he's bringing entertainment. Oh, my God, this is so rocking awesome. It's great. It's like, no, I'm just going to listen to you, go cast in my ballot, and go away. And that's why I haven't voted the last two times because, no, both parties have failed, and this is where we're at.
When you say you haven't voted, that means you didn't fill out the entire ballot, or was it just the presidential?
Just the presidential stuff.
So lower elections, you were plugged into that.
Lower elections are different because at the same time, I have this mentality of what does someone 3,000 miles away know about me that this someone who's at least 10 miles away gets it?
I appreciate that.
I vote for the local stuff and maybe the overall country laws that are voted for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the big one. I don't vote.
The big top.
I haven't voted twice because why?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay.
It's just why. I've chose not to do a couple of boxes on the local stuff because I'm like, this isn't going to help either way, shape, or form. Whether the act, the law, the prop, or the person, I just saw no benefit either way. So I kept that blank. I've done that because that's the point of being American. You don't have to vote for – you have the right to vote. That's what the right to vote means. You're choosing who deserves your vote.
Wow, we did slide off topic because there was –
But we're talking about the whole state of the country and the world right now with that meeting and the ripple effects it has with the tariffs, the overallness of this divisiveness of how divided this country is. It's like – it's dumb. It's so beyond dumb. Because we all have to work together in some way or aspect or another.
A couple thoughts I wanted to get in there that, like, oh, I was going to say that, but then you moved on. And
sorry, no, we can go back. This is our podcast, goddammit. We can go anywhere. Give us the launch codes.
First one I wanted to say is another advice for customers going to a retailer. If you need the assistance of a retail employee and you see one, but they're talking to another customer, just wait.
Or say, excuse me, do you have a sec? And that person will say, yes, I'll help you right now. Let me finish this up.
Yeah.
Da-da-da!
Yeah.
Why don't people say excuse me anymore? Just overall, shit.
Yeah, no, right?
Fucking
like,
hard.
Excuse me. Yeah, like,
you can either wait your turn quietly, like you said, or just say excuse me.
I'm just thinking, like, because I did a little, I did like a seasonal retail job once, and I remember, and it was season, and by seasonal, I meant it was like Christmas season, and there was a lot of instances where I would have like three people come up to me, and it was always like one, two, three, so like, they could see I was talking to someone, I was helping someone, and they're like, excuse me, I need you to talk to me, and I'm like, well, let me finish with this person here, and then I'll talk to you. And you could fucking wait, and while you're waiting, maybe you'll see one of my coworkers and bother him instead. It's like, someone got mad at me because I was very kind about that. I was like, it was like right before Black Friday, and I was talking. It was like a kid. He must have been like 12 years old or something. It's a kid, 12, 13, asking me a question about where something was. And I was trying to help him. And I was like, okay, you know, you might be a little young to be shopping by yourself, but yeah, I'll help you out like any other customer. Yeah, and then some lady in white beater like was completely ignorant of the kid, completely ignorant that I was engaged in with someone else, and was like asking me for help. And I was like, all right, I'll help you after I take care of this customer, okay? And then her husband, who's wearing like a fedora and a wife beater, no joke, that's what he wore. He's like, you know, you could be a little nicer, okay? I'm like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. But yeah, just wait.
And also too, especially if you see that person talking to a kid. Mm-hmm. Dude, it's a kid. You can wait behind a kid. I've had that happen to me so many times where I've had multiple customers come up to me. And if I'm not helping out someone previously and it just happens to be three almost simultaneously, I help out the woman first. It's just manners. Mm-hmm. I do. And then, depending on the age, I help out the eldest person first. Even if it's a man who's the elderly one compared to the woman, mm-hmm. I help out the woman first or the age. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I've made looks where a customer has been rude to a woman I've been talking to, helping, and they'll get a little too like rude in space, like a bump of the cart or kind of like, you know, almost a hurry up. I just look at them. And they understand. Just, dude, back off. It's fine. You can wait. There's nothing wrong with waiting behind, first of all, a woman, because it is. No. Lady goes first. Yeah. I had this incident where I went to personally just go buy eggs. Mm-hmm. And I was in line right before the store opened up. And I, number four. So I'm like this, I'm getting eggs. Right? I'm getting eggs. But as I went to be number four, an elderly woman right then, same time. And she said, oh, no. You know, you actually saw you out of the car first. You go first. I'm like, ma'am, it's okay. Go first. No, but, you know, we're all here for eggs. I'm like, ma'am, go first. I'll be number five. I'm fine. Two more elderly women came up. I let them have the spot first because I would be number seven and they're elderly women. Mm-hmm. They're going to just get one egg.
Yeah.
They're going first. No. And they were like, no, you went first. You know the situation with the eggs right now. I'm like this. And I did get rude to these ladies. I said, ma'am, go first. No. Because no, that's the right thing to do. It's an elderly woman. You help out your elderly and you let the woman go first. Yep. Doesn't matter. And it does not matter how rude that elderly person is. Doesn't matter how bitchy the woman is. Mm-hmm. That's the point. And when I got in the store, we got redirected into the line for the eggs. Fine, whatever. And I'm going side by side and I'm just cruising. And this woman happened to come up to another elderly woman. She's like, oh, wait, I remember you in line. I think I might have cut you. Go ahead first. I'm like, go ahead of me. And I felt almost 20 people on my ass right there. Put my arm straight across, stopped everyone, halted. Go first, please. Because that's what you do. It's not that hard, people. We're all in this together, but we know who needs a little more assistance first. Let the old person go first. You guess what? If you do, you're still going to get your shit. Thank you, Tater Tot. I know we have to do our sponsor right now. He got a little upset, Travis.
I think his mama is home.
But yeah, we also forgot our sponsor.
Oh!
We have a new sponsor again, people, in this fun episode of ours. I know it's a little bit of a different tone. Our sponsor today, everyone, is Leather.
Leather?
Leather's great. They make great belts. It's good for boots, good quality boots. And if you find a partner kinky enough, it's great to wear and take off. Not going to lie, a little spank on the belt, on the butt, kind of adds the mood a little fun, you know what I mean? Leather, it's good to wear. It helps with long-lasting clothing like jackets, coats, belts, gloves, hats, and it's good to add to the kinkiness. So everybody, today our sponsor is leather. I have a nice leather vest I've had for a couple of years. I love it. I love my leather boots I have, and I love my leather belt. And you know what? Leather wallets are the best wallets. Leather, folks. No, it's worth the money. Genuine leather.
I'll pick up.
Sorry, folks. I got a little off topic.
Something I wanted to mention, like you talked about ingredients, that many ingredients need to make a good society. Just know that some ingredients are just pure poison. And that's where I go, yeah, maybe there's something good from all of those things, except fascism. Like, I'm sorry, fascism does not mix well with all of those things.
I say fascism in the point because we've seen during wartime a president be fascist to a degree to help out the situation. FDR got rid of the term limit. I see that as fascism.
Well, he didn't have a term limit to begin with. It was just a gentleman's, like, presidents didn't go beyond their two terms. It was just Washington's tradition.
No, FDR went for more than two terms.
But he wasn't banned from doing that.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, though, I think that's a fascist thing. Look what Lincoln did during his war powers to help with slavery. It's a mixture. You just have to learn. For example, too much salt will kill you. You need a tiniest pinch. That's why I say it.
Yeah,
I know it's a dangerous game. It is. That's a dangerous game. But
I don't think those things alone would be considered fascist. Light authoritarian, sure.
That's just fascism with extra steps.
I'm
quoting Rick and Morty.
No, it's more fascism was more about like the combination of the, like, the state and the people are like one entity and like subservient to the state. I know that fascism is like, let's take the existing class structures that exist and then just amplify them immensely and then get murderous with it because we gotta have an enemy.
You have to have an enemy for money to flow in.
Someone I know, she was actually, she's actually like the mother of some kids I went to school with. And so I'm friends with her on Facebook, and she was asking me, I think she was asking me this because this is when I started sharing our podcast on social media. I don't think she like is like as like left wing as I am, or at least she wasn't. But I think she's gotten a little more radicalized just because of this current administration in the other direction. And she asked me, she must have been feeling bad, but she was just asking me, what can we do to stop this? What can we do to stop this or whatever, taking our country back? It was the day of the Zelensky meeting. It's like, today was a disaster. And I don't, maybe I could have finessed this more, but I was just thinking in the moment. I texted her back. I don't know what will put a kibosh on this administration, but all I could suggest is to first recognize that one person can't have all the solutions to everything, which I don't know, maybe goes against the title of this podcast.
We're doing it together.
two heads. But a bunch of people, or at least two people, I suppose, can solve everything in their own ways. I suggested that she should find, as well as the rest of you, you find something that you care about, that you know you can make a difference in just that, and work towards that. And sometimes to figure out what that is to find or have friends who are already doing something like that together, and just do what they're doing. And the benefit of that is that you get to hang out with your friends. And it'll feel good because you're with people you care about. Maybe that aspect will feel even better than whatever difference-making good thing that you're doing. But it gets you out there. It gets you working towards something good. This administration got in power through sowing division, antagonism, and injustice. Friendship, non-transactional relationships, and justice is how we get out. I don't know how that'll manifest, but I know those have to be the motivations towards whatever is the light at the tunnel that gets us out.
No, I like that. Because you know what? That part you said about non-transactional, I've been hearing so lately through YouTube and various places that your friend's circle should be as or more successful than you to build you up too. You should only be hanging out with successful people. And I'm like, I don't hang out with my friends for success. I hang out with my friends because it's just fun to hang out with them. Like, I wouldn't give a shit if you were like, let's say, $500 million ahead of me. Mm-hmm. Why would that not make us hang out? That is dumb. My father had a very diverse group of friends. One of them is a wealthy dude. Mm-hmm. You're still friends who call each other over long distances because they had a friendship. Yeah. I think it's that you're right. That's dumb that a friendship is transactional. You should only be with friends who are building you up. It's like, you mean like you're just talking about financial buildup. Like, be with friends with people who are like share your same vision and are growing wealthy and all that stuff. And, you know, they're not lazy. They're not, and like this, I'm like, my success is just my success. I could care less where financially my friends are.
Yeah.
When we get together, we're just going to talk about hanging out and just other stuff. It shouldn't change the fact that there is a $5 million difference between us. No. That's dumb.
I mean, there is an old saying. I mean, there's the adage that you shouldn't have friends that drag you down. But what you were talking about, what you heard, that's not the opposite of that. That's being around materially more successful people is not the opposite of like don't have friends with people that drag you down.
What they mean by friends who drag you down too is people who are just douchebags. That's dragging down. That's what
douchebags, miserable,
mean, evil.
Yeah,
that's
trauma dumpers.
That's dragging you down. Not dragging you down because it's like, oh, he's still working that 9 to 5 while I'm just killing it in the stocks. Dragging you down is just like this.
You're miserable to be around. I don't want to be around you because you make me feel sad.
I think he hits his girl. Now we're done.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a serial cheater. Oh, he just drinks a shit ton. Mm-hmm. That's what dragging down is. Not some financial thing or success thing or house thing or material thing or even relationship thing. Like, oh my God, his relationship's so much better than mine. It's like, no, it's just all walks of life is friendship. You and I have worked with every single person under the sun. I don't get where these problems are coming from. And I'm saying this about both left and right. Uh-huh. I have friends and experiences positive of all sides. I don't get why it's like, how can you be friends with a Trump voter? Or how can you be friends with someone who's transgender and hang out with them? It's like this. Because we're talking about, and I'm going to bring it up because I know you're going to laugh right now, because we're talking about how awesome Digimon is. Yeah. I'm saying it's that simple. When we did drama,
that's as good a reason as ever.
We were in drama together. We hung out with everyone who identified as anything. And guess what happened? We made magic on stage.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You and I have the most different political views ever. You're going to find out more and more from me, and I might find out more and more from you. Mm-hmm. I do not believe in any of the political parties, and I think both should be completely liquidated and rebuilt. You are a Democrat, but guess what we're going to do probably?
Technically, I'm a registered Democrat.
No, but you get what I'm saying, though, right? Okay, fine. You're a registered Democrat. I'm registered independent. You have left-wing views. I have fuck both of them, burn it to the ground, rebuild them views, because I think we need to kickstart the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Guess what we're going to do after this recording, everybody? Well, you know what me and my best friend for what? I've known you for 15 years. We're going to do?
Record another episode.
and we're going to get food. We're going to get food. He is a year younger than me. His beautiful wife is 2 to 3 years younger than me. It doesn't matter who we are. We all hang out. I have in-laws who are in-laws and family members who voted for Trump and didn't vote for Trump. And guess what? I'm going to be seeing them on Easter.
I
you know what I mean? But you get what I mean? I'm going to see him on Easter.
And actually, what I say to that is beautiful, this is not, we're not like breaking points with Crystal Ball and Sagar, whatever the fuck his last name is. This isn't one of those like shows, those like post-Crossfire shows where you got the two heads. It's like, I represent the left and I represent the right and we can be friends even though we disagree. That's not, no, because I think, I mean, maybe I identify as a leftist in a lot of ways, and I don't really want to paint myself, and this is another reason why I like doing this, I don't want to paint myself in a corner as, like, I am the sole representative of the interests of the proletariat. We have very complicated views, and based on just the world we live in, and I don't know, maybe, and I'm open to the fact that some of my views on things might change over time, but like, this isn't, our whatever dichotomies we have is not something you can just paint into a nice little corner that that the media can understand, that the simpleton American that only understands politics through elephants and donkeys can understand. I want to clarify, I feel like the things we, our beliefs are a lot more complicated.
Yeah,
and I think everyone's beliefs are a lot more complicated. And that's really, you know, what, you know, left, right, center, whatever. I think that's
why can't she be all three at the same time? It's like that. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of being a person.
I think that's what our, you know, that's what the show is about, just sort of exploring that together.
It's not, I wasn't saying that to paint us in the picture of most of the YouTube political commentary. It's just a show that's like, you can have dual thought, you can think multiple different ways, and you can also say, Jesus fucking goddamn it, Christ, why are the people in power so fucking retarded? I honestly still think what Robin Williams said, I think behind closed doors, Democrats and Republicans are laughing together, and it's laughing at us.
Yep.
It's not about black, white, or brown. It's about rich or poor. What color are you? Broke, fucker. And this is going to, I know people are going to say, oh, this sounds pretty dumb and lame and everything. There's a great,
we are not, and we are not, I promise you, we are not jerking off in the center like some people do. Like, we do actually believe in things.
No, we do. And there's a great song that came out during, I think, the 60s or 70s, and you're going to, anyone will blow this off as a kind of a corny song. What, it's a good song. I forget who sang it, but it's the, this is the main chorus. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? That's the main chorus of the song. A lot of the, our parents will know this, but that's it. It's just, what's so wrong with that? And it's like what John Lennon said. All we're saying is give peace a chance across the board through all different channels. Because if not, instant karma is going to get you. And karma sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's merciless. So be nice to each other for no reason. Because it's going to help us get through, everyone's saying, these next 4 years. And then the next election. And then the next. It's a bad cycle, everyone, that every 4 years we're at each other's throats.
And
so
it's
going to
be the most important presidential election of your life. Until the next one.
Yeah. The most important thing in my life right now is just having a nice burrito with a beer.
Ooh.
So, hey, everybody.
Can't get that anywhere
this
else.
Is going to be probably our corniest ending. And that's the best part of it, because corniness is great. Just be nice to each other. Say good morning, say good afternoon, or say good evening to a complete stranger on your next outing. I dare you, challenge you, and I'm just fucking saying try it out. Guarantee you'll be rewarding. And it does not matter if the person responds. It matters if you do it. That's our podcast. Thank you for listening to this one. We felt like this one was more important just because of everything going on. We're all in this together, and we can all have a good time because we decide, not our leaders. Doesn't matter whose ass is sitting in the Oval Office. It's all on us as a whole. It takes one person to fucking shit on everything. It takes all of us to have a good time.
Like Al Green at the State of the Union address last night, where he stood up and managed to stop Trump from speaking, and they had to escort him out. Now, what I wanted to see, I wanted to see every Democrat do that throughout the night or just walk out. But the bigger question I had was, if one politician could stop Trump from talking and make a big display of that, imagine what the opposition could have done, could have been doing these past few months since Trump came into office to stop whatever bad thing he was doing. Instead of just sitting back and being like, well, we're in the minority. What can we do? What can we do? Dude. If you look up the South Korea coup attempt that happened not too long ago, people were like jumping over members of their legislative were jumping over barriers to stop that from happening, to vote against the coup. I saw a video of a guy in Taiwanese government. There was a bad bill being pushed through, and he took that bill, ran away. He was a member of the Congress. He took that piece of paper. It was like, haha, you can't vote for it. I'm running away. Fuck all of you. So why can't Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer rally up the Democrats to be like that? Which is why I don't respect them. Al Green got my respect, and I'm like, you know, if more people acted like him, maybe I could feel better about these next 4 years. But no, it's you have an evil party and a limpless party.
And what I say to that is kind of like, to a degree, what in Tombstone, what Kurt Russell said.
Not gonna fight you, Ringo. There's no money in it.
There's no money in it. It's pretty sad. Just money. Yeah. Like I said, rich or poor.
That's usually it.
So we rambled on enough. We do hope you enjoyed this. We hope it this one meant something to you and was not a waste of your time. I hope you actually enjoyed this episode because we're going to keep going on. We got a lot more planned on this beautiful podcast that we're doing, and we hope you are. We hope you enjoyed it. And really, just like I said, we thank you again for taking your time out to listen to us. We're all busy. It means a lot for you to take out your time to listen to just us two blue collar guys. That's all we are. Yeah. Oh, before we go ahead, no, I'm going to end this right now. I haven't said it yet, and I wanted to. I wanted to give a shout out to my buddy here, actually, because Travis has been editing every single fucking video. And if you've been listening this far, you can listen a little bit more. This guy's doing a lot of the work right now. So everyone, I thank my best friend here for putting up a lot of effort in the editing. He's the one who's he's the editor. So that's my best friend. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.